Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Now, Lord willing, we're going to wrap up Volume 1 of this series on the Holy Spirit, and we'll pick up Volume 2 thereafter. And we've got about four different volumes that we're going to be covering in this series. And what we're dealing with in Volume 1, if you haven't been tuned in or watching the broadcast or here, is we're dealing with the person and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And I have been getting stopped left and right. You know, I'm out in the foyer on most Wednesday nights, and last week and week before, and people just seeing me out, and I've been hearing so many say, "I did not know that about the Holy Spirit. I did not know that about the Holy Spirit." So I'm excited about the knowledge that's coming forth. I had one individual tell me last week, said, "Pastor, I've been in church all my life, and I never knew these things, had not heard these things." So, and all you're getting, good understanding. John 15, you're there, say amen. We'll read it in verse number 26 and 27. And this is a reiteration here again where Jesus was informing his disciples that he was going away, but in his absence he was going to send the Comforter. And we dealt with what that word means on last week. And he started that message in the 14th chapter, and it continues all the way here into the 15th chapter and even into the 16th chapter. But he says something here in chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, I want us to pay attention to. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Say that out loud. "He shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." In light of what we read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice. I ask that you bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue, Father, the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. We read before the prayer in John 15, and I really am praying that you'll see some things here that you may have not have seen in regards to the Holy Spirit. Here's the plan. In the next few weeks, we're going to deal with the anointing or the anointings of the Holy Spirit. There's seven of those listed in Isaiah chapter number 11, verse 2. We're going to look at not only the anointings of the Holy Spirit, we're going to deal with the gifts of the Spirit that have been given for the advancing of the kingdom to the church. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit listed in Galatians chapter number 5 that Jesus said we would be known by our fruit. And so as we deal with the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, it's vital that we understand the person and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Because it's you know, for one, when you think about the anointing, as we'll get into next week, when you hear that word anointing, "I've been anointed," or "he's so anointed," or "she's so anointed," that literally means there's been an impartation. To anoint means to rub off on, or to smear on, or to paint on. And so when the Holy Spirit has anointed you, that's his power, his ability, his characteristics rubbed off on you. Not the best example, but you remember hanging around a certain crowd when you were young, and your mama said, "Stay away from that boy, he's rubbing off on you." You hang with the wrong crowd and they're starting to rub off on you. Then people that you hang out with end up rubbing off on you. And so if you're walking with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, then the Spirit should rub off on you, where I'm beginning to bear His attributes and characteristics and power. And so that anointing represents those characteristics, those facets of the Holy Spirit, the different faces of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. We're known by our fruit. The gifts of the Spirit. What would the Spirit give and why? What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? See, all these things that we'll be studying for the next few weeks, they rest in your understanding. True understanding is going to rest in your understanding the purpose and purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's just like from my wife, who knows me very well, she knows what my characteristics. She knows what I'm like, my attitude, my personality, what that's like, infectious and rubbing off on others. She knows what kind of gifts I give. She knows the person. So the gifts and the anointing, the characteristics, are a reflection of the person. But if she didn't know me, if she didn't have a relationship with me, then she couldn't attribute those characteristics and gifts to the person. And I believe that it has been missed in the body of Christ, where we've not known the person and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And I believe when you don't understand the person and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, then it's easier for you to get misguided when it comes to the anointing, fruit, and especially gifts of the Spirit, if you don't understand the person and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this up front so I can get it over with. There are some people that have made the Holy Spirit all about them. They really believe that the Holy Spirit has come to make them something and to bring them glory and some kind of showcase for the world to see. And I'm going to say this up front. If you don't like it, you just have to take offense, because I can't help you. The Holy Spirit did not come to glorify man. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus. That is His role, and that is His ministry. And we got too many folks shining their bulbs instead of letting their bulbs shine. The world don't need a revelation of me. It doesn't need a revelation of you. It needs a revelation of Jesus, and that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you a little example of that about halfway through the message, Lord willing. Now, trust Jesus. If you don't trust me, your neighbor, or the one sitting behind you, trust Jesus, all right? Because Jesus here, in His Word, and you read it in John 15, verse 26, and we really know it's Jesus because the print is in the red. The Bible took the time to use some red ink so we would know when Jesus was talking. Hallelujah. And He says here, Jesus said, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." Read that out loud. He shall testify of me. But what if you never heard of Jesus? What if you never heard the Word? What if you didn't know the Word? Jesus comes behind that and says in verse 27, "And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So He's saying, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to testify of me. And you'll bear witness that He's testified of me because you've been with me for 3 years. So, it's just like somebody that you know, and you've been with that person, you have fellowship with that person, and you've been with them for years, and then someone that's never even met them tries to describe that person to you. And then, they say, wait a minute, you don't know that person at all. I know that person, and that's not who you just said. And so because I've been with that person, I know them, and I'm not going to receive your misrepresentation of that person. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit will represent me. He'll testify of me. He'll represent me. Think about somebody being called into court to testify on your behalf or to represent you in a legal setting. They're representing you. They're testifying on your behalf. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to testify of me. He's going to represent me. He's going to represent me. And you're going to know that He's representing me because you know me. And since you know me, you know when I'm being represented. Somebody say represent. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit comes to represent and to lead individuals to Jesus. Now, why would the Holy Spirit want to reveal Jesus? Why would he bear witness of Jesus? Why would he reveal, open up, and lead individuals to Jesus? Because Jesus is the one that died for us, paying our redemption that we might be saved. So the Godhead bodily, the Father, the Word made flesh, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, three operate in one, and they were manifested, the Father and the Spirit, they were manifested in the person of the Son that we might be saved. Hallelujah. So the person of the Holy Spirit is in the earth realm right now to bring the knowledge of the person of the Son. Okay. Hallelujah. Everybody got that? We can see that right here, the person of the Holy Spirit brings to understanding the light, the revelation of the person of the Son, and it is the person of the Son that brings the light to the person of the Father. Turn with me to John chapter 17. John 17. Notice that I keep saying person of the Spirit. I'm doing that with intent because I'm about to show you some things here in the Word, because it's important for you and I to know the Holy Spirit's not an it. You don't call the Holy Spirit a force. You don't call the Holy Spirit, you don't limit him to a power or a thing. You know, it got me today. What got you today? The Holy Ghost. Well, don't be calling the Holy Spirit an it. Would you say it about God? Would you say it saved me? Who saved you? Jesus. Would you call Jesus it? Wouldn't that be insulting to call Jesus it when Jesus is the person of the Son of God, only begotten of the Father? That'd be insulting to limit Jesus to a thing. He's a person. Think about nouns, subjects, person, places, things. Jesus is not a thing. He's a person. And the Holy Spirit's not a thing. He's a person. And when you don't understand that, it's easy to get skewed in your understanding of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Hallelujah. He's the third person of the Father. All right? And Jesus, if you know me, you'll know him, because we're the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Now watch this in John 17, because we just read that the person of the Spirit will speak of the person of the Son. But watch what the Son accomplished. We'll look in John 17, beginning in verses 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now read verse 3 with me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So it takes the knowledge of Jesus to get the knowledge of God, but we read in John 15 that it is the person of the Holy Spirit that opens up the revelation of the person of the Son. So look, the Spirit is revealing the Son, that the Son may reveal the Father. Glory be unto God. We could go home on that right there and just leave it alone. You have to understand his person. In volume 1, we're talking about not only understanding his person, but we're talking about you have to understand his purpose. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Now, let's go further, because I want to be sure that you understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the person of a triune God. And so let's look at some things real quick that would just build your faith in that. Okay? Now, in Genesis 1, if you want to go there, I mean, it's easy to find. So, I mean, just flip like to the table of contents. Boom, there it is. So, if you want to go over there, I'm going to show you God in three persons right here in the first chapter of Genesis. Okay? Now, watch this. In the beginning, God. So, if you're one that writes in your Bible or highlights or any of that, just emphasize God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. If you're one that writes or highlights, emphasize that. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. See, God obviously doesn't want us ignoring His Spirit, because His Spirit shows up in the second verse of the Bible. Okay? Been there. His origin was not Pentecost. He's been there as long as God has been there, because He's the second person of a triune God. All right? Now, when you read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, in the Hebrew, that is Elohim. Right. Elohim. That's the Hebrew word there that's used for God, Elohim. Now, for me to save a lot of time and to make this a little quicker, have you ever heard of cherubim? Okay, cherubim are the angels that are in the tabernacle. They showed up guarding the way to the tree of life. You always see at least two. There's actually four. There's one on each corner around the throne of God. There were four of their faces painted on the veil of the tabernacle. I could go on and on and on. But there are four. But we see them at least two at a time in Scripture. And they're called cherubim. If you only saw one of the cherubim, you wouldn't say cherubim. You would say they were cherubs. I saw a cherub. Because when you add that YM, we'd say in English, but when you add that in Hebrew, you're making it plural. So cherub is one. Cherubim is more than one. Whether it's two or four, that's more than one. When you look at the name Elohim, it's got the same ending in Hebrew, which means plural. So Elohim is a plural name. So the name of God, Elohim, is plural. But how can it be plural? Because He's one God in three persons. For those that say, well, there's only one God. But go back to the Hebrew and look at that name God, the first one that shows up. And it by itself is a plural name. He from the very beginning, He's establishing that He's one God that exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Word made flesh, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I know a lot of folk get mad at that kind of stuff. I get an ugly letter, but I won't read it. It's okay. Just help yourself to your opinion. All right. Now, verse 3. And God said. Now we see the introduction of the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1:3 says everything that was made by the Word of God. And then John 1:14 says, and the Word was made, help me, flesh. And so Jesus' origin is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. So notice now in Genesis 1:1, God, Elohim, plural. Verse 2, the Spirit of God. Verse 3, the Word of God shows up. So there are the three persons of God existing in the first three verses of the Bible. Boom. Hallelujah. What you say. Now, when you talk about this, you know, this one God that exists in three persons, I want to show you that when you begin to study, like when they looked at Jesus and they said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied in the sixth chapter of John. Jesus said, wait a minute, when you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. I am the Father, are one, John 6:30. It was for that statement that the high priest sought to have Him crucified. You know, you think about Jesus dying for our sin. Why did He die for our sin? I mean, not why did He have to die? We know why He had to die. He had to die to pay the penalty of sin. But why was He crucified? Why did the high priest seek the power of the Romans to see that He be crucified? What was their accusation? What was their judgment? Their judgment was blasphemy. For they said, He hath made Himself to be what? One with the Father. That was the charge that was brought against Jesus that led Him to be crucified, was that He made Himself one with the Father. Now, if you don't believe that Jesus is one with the Father, then you take the same position as the one that crucified Him. You ever thought about that? If you don't believe that Jesus is one with the Father, you are siding with the high priest that condemned Him. That's the position that you're in. You then, if you were alive in that day and were of the priestly group, you would have said, crucify Him, because you don't believe He's one with the Father. And under Jewish law, that would be blasphemy. Are y'all getting a hold of what I'm saying here? So Jesus came as the manifested Word of God. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is the embodiment of the Father. Now, watch this. When you now look at the Holy Spirit, you got to see the same thing. And I'm going to prove it to you in the Word of God. Let's look at some scriptures real quick, all right? First of all, let's go to the book of Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Whoo, my goodness. I'm getting fired up in here. And I believe the Holy Spirit, I can just see the Spirit of God saying, ooh, they're going to get to know me. Hallelujah. And what I'm here for, not to bring glory to himself, but when you understand his role, then your life will bring Jesus glory. Hallelujah. I know there are people that will say, oh, I just want a revelation of the Holy Spirit. He's the revealer. I want a revelation of the Holy Spirit. He's the revealer. He reveals Jesus. And if you're not seeking a revelation of Jesus, there's nothing he can do for you because he came to reveal Jesus. That's his purpose. That's what Jesus said he would do. He will speak of me. You know, if you, let me tell you something alarming. When you think about the Holy Spirit, and let's say you just have a limited knowledge of background in church or whatever, but you have some knowledge. It is likely, if you're at least like me, and I didn't get saved in church until I was 17 years old. But if it's likely, if you're like me, if you bring up the Holy Spirit, then I'm thinking Book of Acts. Anybody else like me? Holy Spirit, Book of Acts. If anybody thinks like me, like I've been thinking, lift your hand. Holy Spirit, Book of Acts. Okay, about half of y'all. Rest of y'all just now woke up. But anyway, Pastor, I had a long day. I'm just glad to be here. I'm just absorbing the anointing. I don't want to lift my hand. I've been working all day. Keep your hand down, baby. I'm just glad you're here. Now, but here's the thing. We assume that the book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit because that's where we see the record of the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. But would it surprise you if I told you that if you took the name of Jesus and you took the name of the Word of God, every time it was mentioned in the book of Acts and counted it, and then you took Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, or Spirit of God, every time that title's mentioned and added it, that the name of Jesus shows up with the Word of God three times more than the Holy Spirit's name by himself. So if you just said, okay, who's talked about most in the book of Acts? Most would say, ooh, the Holy Ghost. Three times more the name of Jesus is talked about in the book of Acts. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus, it would make sense you would hear more about Jesus than you would anything else. If you think I'm wrong, you check me on that. I've already done it. Literally count it every single time. It's easy to do. Just do a word study and you'll see it. But I'm not trying to take away from the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. I'm trying to show you his person, and I'm trying to show you his person because there are a lot of people that have been messed up in church because they didn't get to know the person of the Holy Spirit because he had been misrepresented. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? All right, now watch this in wherever it was I told you to go. Okay, Psalm 139. I know what I intended to do just by you saying that. Let's look at Psalms 139, and I want to go to verse number 7. And the first thing that I want to show you here is that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That just means he's everywhere at the same time. So watch Psalm 139, verse number 7. You there, say amen. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or death, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, in the booth, in the back, God will never know. Even the night shall be light about me. So this is basically saying, this psalm is saying, you cannot hide from the presence of God. But notice what we see in verse 7. Where can you go from his spirit? You cannot escape the spirit of God. He's everywhere. But notice here, then, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, just like God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. We say God is omnipresent. How is God omnipresent? Through the avenue of the person of his spirit. Okay? Go to Luke chapter number 1. Is this helping anybody? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. We're about to just take off and run with this thing here, and I want to make sure that you understand the person and purpose of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, and we'll look at it in verse number 34, and to set the stage for time's sake, this is where the angel comes to Mary and tells Mary that she's going to be bringing forth a son named Jesus, and to call him Jesus. You see that in verse number 31. And then everything about Jesus is listed there, and who he will be the Son of God, etc. Okay, Mary, a young virgin, is saying, okay, sounds good, angel, but you must not know something. I'm not married. I don't have a husband. I don't know a man. And so we're going to need a man here if I'm going to have a baby. Okay? Now watch what the angel says back to Mary in Luke 1. We'll start in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Now the power of the highest is coming from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not the power of the highest. The Holy Ghost has the power of the highest. And so that's why I think that the church and many in the body of Christ are missing it, is that the Holy Spirit's not the power. The Holy Spirit has power just like the Father. And so you just like you wouldn't want the endowments, the abilities of your spouse to be all you know of them. Wouldn't that be insulting to your spouse that all you ever talk of is their ability, but you never talk about them? I mean, you try this for a little while at home. Now, don't try this, but I'm being silly. Call your wife Cook. 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 Cook, I'm hungry. Go out in public and say, yes, this is my cook. And I mean, can really cook. Oh, she can cook now. Ooh, yeah, I can taste it now. She can cook. After a little while, your wife would say, you know what? Yes, I can cook, but that's just one of my many qualities and attributes. Quit identifying me by what you benefit from me and start recognizing that I am an individual. I am a person worthy of honor, love, admiration, and respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. How? What you say? Now, I don't know how that happened, but it just did. We definitely won't blame the Spirit. Well, I believe that's been done in the church for too long in regards to the Holy Spirit, where we're looking at his power and attributes without recognizing this power is coming from a person. Hallelujah. And so the person of the Holy Ghost, which when you look at the original meaning of the word spirit in Hebrew, it comes from the Hebrew word ruach, which means breath, literal life of God. In the New Testament, it comes from the word pneuma, where we get the English word pneumonia, which connects you being sick in your lungs or in your breathing. And so when the Holy Spirit, the actual translation of the word spirit means ruach, pneuma, or breath, or the very life of God. So that when God took Adam and the Bible said he breathed into Adam. That was the Ruach. That was spirit. That was life that gave Adam's body life. It was the Ruach of God. And so when God got, my God, when God, hey, I'm getting stirred up. When God came to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have life in your womb. You're going to have life come out of you, and it'll be the Son of God. And she said, wait a minute, how is there going to be life in me? How is there going to be a baby born, conceived in me when I know not a man? And what you would have heard in the Greek is you would have heard the Holy Pneuma, the Holy Pneuma. You wouldn't have heard spirit. You would have heard breath. The holy breath of God is going to bring life. Ooh, breathe life. My God, breathe life into you. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So the life of God, there's no life without breath. The life of God is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. And he was saying the pneuma, the holy pneuma of God will come on thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So notice now that the Holy Spirit is the one that came on a natural virgin woman and brought the conception of the Son of God. You could literally say it was the person of the Spirit that came into a human and brought the life of Jesus out. My God, we're seeing from the very beginning what the Holy Spirit came to do. He came to give life to the Son. He came to give presence to the Son. That's his purpose. From the very beginning, we're seeing it here. Hallelujah. Now, what you see right here is the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence, let me say it this way, of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is all-powerful. Say that out loud. The Spirit of God is all-powerful. When he said here, the Holy Ghost shall come on thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, he was saying that the Holy Ghost has all the power of God. And that's what lives in you and me. Woo! What you say? The presence of God is in us. The person of God is in us. Therefore, the purpose of God can be fulfilled in us. That means the power of God can be seen in us. That means the provision of God can manifest in us. Why? Because we've got the person of God. See, we have chased the hand of God when we should have been chasing the heart of God. Listen, hands don't work if there's no breath in the body. Did you hear what I said? Hands don't work when there's no breath in the body. Hallelujah. But saying what you can't do and where you can't go and what you can't achieve, and I wish I could do this. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the reason we may not be seeing the manifestations of the Spirit is because we don't recognize his person. Hallelujah. All right, go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So he's omnipresent, everywhere. He's omnipotent. That's why you don't give up on your children. And they're working on some oil deck off in the Gulf. And you're saying, oh, they're going to be gone for 3 months. They're not here, and I'm concerned about this soul. And if they're not here, how am I going to lead them to Jesus? The Holy Spirit can lead them to the Father, through the Son. There ain't a place they can go that they can escape the Spirit of God. Whether they hidden in some cave, you know, or whether they up on some mountaintop, you can't escape the Spirit of God. We have to understand that when we pray for people. Hallelujah. That's good. I had to sell on that. 1 Corinthians 2. Not only is the Holy Spirit omnipresent and omnipotent, he's omniscient. And omniscient, the latter part of that word is the same root where we get the word science, which is knowledge. Technically, it's knowledge gained by observation, but the word knowledge is in there. It's part of the root word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But omniscient means he's all-knowing. When you say God is omniscient, you're saying he's all-knowing. He knows everything. When you're saying that, when you say God is omnipotent, you're saying he's all powerful. He can do anything. And when you're saying, when you say he's omnipresent, you're saying he's everywhere at the same time. Everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Now, omniscient. Watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You there, say amen. Verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the what? Deep things of God. But what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but who? But the Spirit of God. And if you go back and read in verses number 9, those things that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, those are the things the Holy Spirit wants to reveal. Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Not if you listen to him. He don't want to be no mystery to you. He sent the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation, an apocalypse, an unveiling of. Got to quit living life being a mystery, not when the all-knowing God lives on the inside of you. Reading the Bible, you know, and you, I just can't understand it because you have not prayed before you read it. Pray for the revealer to open your eyes while you're reading. It's like looking for keys for 2 hours. And you finally give up and you say, Lord, I know you know where those keys are. Then you walk right to him. You're like, oh, if I'd done that 2 hours ago. Because he's everywhere and he knows everything. Why would you walk through life without seeking his guidance? Hallelujah. All right, now, watch this over in Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Y'all don't mind a little Bible study, do you? All right, watch this in verse number 14. The Holy Spirit is an eternal spirit. All right, watch this. How much more, verse 14, Hebrews 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, read that part, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The point I want to make here was, just like God is eternal, his spirit is eternal. His spirit did not begin at Pentecost. His spirit has always been. Since the beginning, and will always be. Hallelujah. All right, Acts 8, go over there. Turn back to Acts 8. I know we're reading a lot of scriptures, but just bear with me. How can I get up here and talk to you for an hour about the Holy Spirit and not use the Bible? That's what's wrong with folk now. They let some man do all the teaching. And you walk into my, Pastor James said, no, don't be quoting me, quote the word. I spent enough time to giving you scripture that you ought to walk out here and quote the word. I don't need you quoting me, quote the word. If you're going to quote me, put some scripture references in there. watch this in Acts 5, especially when you go home and talk to your husband. Your husband does not want to hear any more about me, I can assure you. That's why he won't come to church now. He's seeing me as the other man. As James said, you should have heard it. And you don't tell him none of that stuff that I said it affected you. Or he would love me. Or whichever other way it is. All right, Acts 5, verse 3. Who? Well, that's the wrong chapter. Go to Acts 5. Did I say 8? Man, moments like these, I remind myself I need help. All right, Acts 5, watch this in verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So who did Ananias lie to? The Holy Ghost, okay? So now, we'll keep reading. Watch what the word says. Verse 4, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Read it with me. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ooh, wait a minute. You said in the verse before that they lied to the Holy Ghost. The next verse you said you lied to God. Well, who did they lie to? God. But it says they lied to the Holy Ghost because the one is the other. They're equal. The Holy Spirit is equal with God. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody? Now turn with me to Luke 3. Luke 3. I'm telling you, we're about to get into some meaty things in these next few weeks, and I need you to understand who the person of the Spirit is and what his purpose is. We're going to see this yet again here in Luke 3. You get there, say amen. Watch verse 22. This is Jesus' baptism. All right. Maybe not. Yeah, there it is. I was in the wrong verse. Here we go. Verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the who? Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." The reason I want you to see this verse is in one verse you see the Holy Ghost, the Son, and the Father all in one verse. There they are. And it is here that Jesus was endowed and anointed with God's Spirit to carry out the ministry and the plan that the Father had sent him to achieve. This is also the same recording is in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, and in Mark 1, verses 10 through 13. But we see them all here together. Hallelujah. Now, think about this. The person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Son, the person of the Father showing up in one verse. Hallelujah. Let's not forget that from the very beginning here, the Holy Spirit is bringing glory to the Son. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit's been in existence since Genesis 1. Okay? But it was not till God sent the Son that man had clear access, redemption back to the Father. There is no redemption without the Son. The Holy Spirit existed. We see his presence in operation. We see the Word in operation. But there was no redemption till the Son came. Okay? It is through Jesus, the person of the Son, that redemption is completed. And I need you to, I'm going to pull this together and I'm going to show you an illustration. It's going to all make sense. Why is Jesus the significant one? Because he is the embodiment of the Spirit and the Father. You don't see the three operating as one till the Son. Hallelujah. Is that making sense to everybody? That's where the triuneness fully was present in one Lord through Jesus. Filled and anointed with the Spirit, the Son of the Father. You know, we have this idea, and I've had folks get mad at him, that Jesus will walk around in heaven, or there's a man named God walking around in heaven, that somehow or another was conceived in the virgin womb of Mary. That's not accurate. God is a spirit, John 4, 24. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There was no embodiment of God till Jesus. Prior to that time, when he dwelt amongst men, he dwelt in tabernacles, he dwelt on Mount Sinai, and there would be a glory cloud that would hide him from man. But there's been no embodiment of the Spirit of God till Jesus. And he dies for our sin, giving us access to the Father, and not only to the Father, but it is through Jesus that we have the Holy Spirit. So now I want to show you something real quick. Pastor Jeremiah, Pastor Earl, Pastor Ben, I'm going to get y'all to come help me. I'm not going to leave this place until you walk out of here and you know in your knower, because you know you got a knower, And I want you to know in your knower the person and the purpose of the Spirit of God, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Pastor Earl to stand right here. And Pastor Earl, you will represent the Father. Hallelujah. All right? And Jeremiah, I need you to come represent the Son, okay? And then we're going to have Pastor Ben to come be the Holy Spirit, all right? And so now I want you to see the harmony between the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit, okay? And then I'm just that sinner that didn't know nothing. That the Holy Spirit used the Word. You, matter of fact, you hold the Word because you and the Word are one. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, when you went back to the Father, you prayed for the glory in you in John 17, verse 5, to be deposited back into the Word. Hallelujah. So you and this Word are one. And when you went back to the Father, you left this Word. And so if the Holy Spirit is going to reveal you to a sinner like me, I can't see you because you're back in heaven. So the Holy Spirit has got to show me you through. Right. Hallelujah. I don't know you without your Word because that's you. But I don't know this Word without the Holy Spirit because He's the revelator. So it is the Holy Spirit that leads us to the Son, and without the Son, you don't get to the Father. Do you see it? You don't come to the Father except through the Son. John 14, 6, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son. He is the way that the Father ordained to be the way. But in this world where men don't know the Son and don't know the person of the Son in the Word, then God has sent the Holy Spirit to bring that knowledge. So watch this. It is by the Holy Spirit that I come to know the Son. And it is by the Son that I come to know the Father. Well, what did the Father do to make sure that I would know the Son that I might know Him? The Father in Acts 1 sent the Holy Ghost. So now, I'm going to go over here and the Father's going to send the Holy Ghost, all right? I'm going to be over here. I'm lost. I'm lost over here doing my own thing. All right, but the Father, He's going to commission, because I don't know that the Son already died for me. I don't know that the Son can deliver me. I don't know that the Son is my way to answer prayer. I don't know that the Son is the way for me breaking the shackles of sin off my life. I don't even know that is available to me. I'm over here bound in my sin. I'm bound in my mind. I'm in bondage, and I don't know that on a cross my debt was paid, that redemption is free to me if I believe. But I don't know, because I'm blind in this world. The God of this world has blinded my eyes and I can't see. But there's a loving Father that knows the solution. So He sends the Holy Spirit. Send him, Father. Please send the Spirit to me. He sends the Holy Spirit. And I can't see. I can't see, but I feel something inside of me. There's something going on inside of me. There's something touching me. But I don't know where it's coming from. But I know I'm being affected and I'm being drawn. I'm being led. Don't even know why I went to that church. Don't know why I opened the Bible that night. I don't know what's happening, but I'm feeling moved. I'm being moved to Jesus. Hallelujah. And now through the Son, I've come to know the Father. I'm home now. I'm healed and I'm delivered. And the Father says, there's others like you. So I'm going to fill you with Him. And so now that I've got the Spirit in me, another comforter. Hallelujah. Jesus and His power is with me. And now I have the power to bring others. Come here, Landon. I've got power to bring the power of the Holy Ghost. I've got now power to convert and win others and to bring, come here, Holy Ghost, bring them to Jesus. Whoa! Come on, somebody. And everything that the Holy Spirit does. And now, Landon, you're full with the Spirit, and you go lead somebody to Jesus, all right? Everything now that the Holy Spirit's going to do in the life of a believer is all about the Son. Power, provision, anointing, ability that goes beyond my natural ability, wisdom that goes beyond my education, wisdom that goes beyond my natural mind. You're not looking at a college graduate. You're not looking at a man that went to seminary and got everything I needed and then pastored this church. No, everything I know, everything I have in me has been given to me by the Holy Ghost, and I ain't nothing without him. I couldn't preach with conviction. We couldn't see folks saved without him being my help. And the same is true for you. He's that force. He's that power that gives me the ability to be used in the earth realm to bring others to the knowledge of Jesus, that they might know the Father. That's the harmony. See, they don't ever get in a dispute. They don't ever get in a dispute. The Spirit never says to the Father, how come the Son got to get all the glory? The Father doesn't look at the Son and say, well, how come I couldn't have been in the way? No, because before there were angels, before there was a creation, in the counsel of his own mind, God established himself in three persons and what the role would be from eternity past to eternity forward. They are in unity regarding this role. It is men that lack understanding that have separated them. But they are not separate. Thank you, gentlemen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are benefits from the person of the Spirit that you would never have if he were simply some power. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to close. I've got some points I'm going to close. There are benefits from knowing the person of the Holy Spirit that you would never gain if you only saw him as power. According to what we just read in 1 Corinthians 2, the Holy Spirit has an intellect and has knowledge. Let me show you something else, and I'm going to close, but I want to wrap this up. Ephesians 4. This won't take me over a minute. I know I'm out of time, but just stay with me. Ephesians 4. Real quick now, because we couldn't, I'm all out of time here. Go to verse 30. Reading the book of Acts where they would go in a certain place and the Holy Spirit would forbid them. And then other places they wasn't going somewhere and the Holy Spirit would say, go there. Like in Acts 8 where Philip was told by the Spirit to go to a certain chariot. So in the book of Acts you see the Holy Spirit saying, go there. And here's your Holy Spirit saying, don't go there. The Holy Spirit's decisive because he is not some force. He is a person that dwells in us that is a decisive. He's decisive. So why would we not seek the person of God in us when making decisions? But if we have this limited view of the Spirit, we only think he's power. We only ask him to help us when we're getting ready to sing or preach or do something. No, he's there to help you live. He knows exactly how you can win your spouse to Jesus. He knows how you can heal your marriage. He knows how you can balance your checkbook. Hey! And get out of debt. But I want to show you this in Ephesians 4, verse 30. There, say amen. and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Read that out loud. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Read the whole thing. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How could you grieve a power? Grieve not the power of God. No, you. If a person's grieving, that means they have emotions. So if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, he's not some power. He's a person that has power. But he's a person that has grief. And we can grieve him because he's in us. When do we grieve him? With making decisions that weren't in line with him. Hallelujah. Jesus said that he would guide us. He'll lead you. He said he would convict us. That means he convinces us. Last thing I'm going to show you, Romans 8. Man, I got a whole lot more too. It may have to be a part five. I don't know. We'll see. Romans 8. I'm going to close here, though. Watch what he does for us here. Woo! Verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit without your help, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means he prays prayers you could never pray. Because he is a person, therefore he's interceding on our behalf. And I'm not surprised by that, because next to that verse, you ought to write Hebrews 7:25. Because Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. Well, how does Jesus pray for us? Through the prayer of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, that's good stuff right there. All right. I'm going to read to you. You ain't got to turn there. This is the last thing I'm going to read. So I said we're going to close. This is where I'm going to close. I'm closing right here. This is it. Walk away from my notes. I'm right here. This is it. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's his ministry. He glorifies Jesus in our life. Everything he says, everything he does brings the Son glory. You say, Pastor, where is he? He ain't on Mount Sinai. If you're a born-again believer, he's in you and I. That's the power of the person of the Spirit of God present in you. So now you want to tell me what you can't do? Are you ready to tell me now what you can't be? Are you ready to tell me now what test you can't pass? Are you ready to tell me now who you can't win to Jesus? Are you ready to tell me now where you can't go in life? You better not try to tell me that mess, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for your breath, God. Thank you for the life that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for the understanding that we have tonight, Lord, that you have given to us, that we would know by the hearing of faith, by the hearing of faith, your purpose in your Spirit in our lives. Forgive us for ignoring you. Forgive us for ignoring you. Church, the Bible says in Galatians 5 that we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. We wouldn't even know there was a Holy Ghost had we not opened his Word. That's how he made himself aware to us was through his Word. And you've heard the Word regarding the Spirit. Now tonight you can have faith. Faith that he'll operate in your life. Faith that he'll go before you and make crooked places straight. Faith that he'll be your rear guard. Faith that he'll give you ability beyond your natural ability. That he will equip you to do what he's called you to do. That Jesus might be glorified in your life. You may want to just pray privately right now where you are. Just pray privately and acknowledge the Spirit of God. Acknowledge the Father sent the Son, who sent the Spirit that we might have a revelation of the Son and that our lives might bring the Son glory. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus, you're watching live, you never accepted Jesus, I want to pray with you right now for you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray this out loud and I'm going to invite you to pray it with me. Those watching live, pray this with us. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that you love me. I know that I've sinned, and I ask forgiveness, and I ask that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Tonight I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit, to lead me in the paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, use my life to bring you glory in Jesus' name. And I pray that you make my ear sensitive to what your Spirit is saying to me from day to day, that I might be led by your Spirit in Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.